Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, broadcasting here on Press TV from central London each and every week at this time. It's the big conversation. It's the great debate. People are watching on different platforms all over the world. We need your SMS, we need your emails, and above all, we need your telephone calls at the numbers that are coming up on the screen throughout the show. And don't forget the voicemail number, 0044-203-070-2522. I read every email and I listen to every voicemail number. So even if you don't get onto the screen, your point will certainly be absorbed by me and the rest of us on the Comment team. Now, each and every week, we show the best of the political cartoons that our editorial staff have amassed up here on the Comment wall. Let's take this week's cartoons and see. It's Khalil Bendib, a regular contributor. This is Barack Obama, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. As US-made Apache helicopters, US-made smart bombs from F-16s, US-made missiles, US-made cluster bombs, he might have added white phosphorus, all raining down on Gaza, but Barack Obama, according to Khalil, is covering his eyes, his ears, and his mouth. Well, this will be a fair point. When he becomes the president, if he remains silent, he'll deserve each and every brickbat that comes his way. It's only a few days left before the village of Crawford in Texas gets its idiot back. This, again from Khalil, international conspiracy of silence, the wall of shame, the Gaza-Egypt border wall, the apartheid wall, condemned by the international court but still being built by Israel, the Wailing Wall, of course, on the Temple Mount, in divided Jerusalem, and the Palestinian mother and her children weeping, the olive branch in her hand, which is proving to be of no use at all. A wall of shame, or rather, walls of shame. Self-defense, not genocide. That's what the Israeli spokesman here is saying. Behold, a ticking demographic bomb, and they have clusters of them throughout the territories. He means the birth rate of the Palestinians. As one of the speakers in Parliament today said, and I think it was Gerald Kaufman that I referred to earlier, the Palestinians will one day outnumber the Israelis in this territory. In order to defend ourselves and keep things in balance, we drop our own cluster bombs on them. In other words, the suggestion is that Israel is seeking to reduce the population of Israel by attrition. I don't believe that that's true. I think they're trying to drive the Palestinians out of Palestine, which has been their policy from the beginning. After all, their entire lie was that they were a people without a land and that Palestine was a land without a people. The unfortunate truth is that Palestine had plenty of people. They were called Palestinians. Their country was wiped off the map. Millions of them now, with their children and grandchildren, are refugees. And some of them are refugees in Gaza. And they're refugees from the south of Palestine, now Israel. And the town of Sderot is built upon their misery and upon their villages. Let's take an email on the comment wall. Remember, we want your country up here so that we can show the worldwide audience that we have. This is from Imdad in the UK. Israelis are flying, Palestinians are dying. Children are crying, blood is flowing as water is drying. Look at the crisis caused by the Zionists. Indeed, it's the latest in a very long line of crimes, which began more than 60 years ago when this Zionist project began. But I did tell the House of Commons today that this did not start on the 27th of December. It did not even start in 1967, when the West Bank and Gaza and East Jerusalem were taken by military force illegally. It started in the building where I work, the British Parliament, in 1917, when Lord Balfour, on behalf of one people, promised to a second people the land which belonged to a third people, unique even in the grisly annals of imperialist history. Let's take a telephone call. This one is from where? Yes, caller, hello.
Hello.
Yes, where are you?
I'm calling from London.
You're welcome. Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
I'm calling from London.
Yes, go ahead.
Good evening, George.
Good evening to you.
I want to thank you very much for the good work.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to thank you very much for the good work. Keep it up. God will bless you. You are an asset to us. What I want to say is, Israel is surrounded with Arab governments, and they are not united to fight a common enemy. If it was their mothers, wives and children Israel is killing, they will not be sitting down.
Yes, I'm grateful for your call and your kind words, and I got your message. And it is the message that I've been talking about from the beginning of this crisis, and indeed for the last 35 years almost. The Arab governments, almost without exception, from the Atlantic to the Persian Gulf, are either puppet presidents or corrupt kings who rule their countries not for the benefit of their own people, still less for the benefit of the Palestinians under occupation, but for the benefit of others. And the others keep them in power. These dictatorships, and almost all of them are dictatorships, have badly let down their own people and have badly let down the Palestinians. And that is graphically illuminated by this current crisis. But I say to you, don't confuse the people with the governments. The blood of the people is boiling at what we're watching on our television screens. And Al Jazeera, the Arabic station especially, has done a marvelous job in bringing that to the Arab public. Let's take another telephone call. This one is from where? Yes, caller, hello? Hello?
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, madam.
Hello? Hi.
Yes, you're on the air. Where are you phoning from?
I am calling from Glastonbury, Somerset.
You're very welcome.
But I have Lebanese origin, so I lived the war, and what I'm seeing is actually terrible on the TV. George, I want to start to say that you are amazing. You say the truth without hiding anything. Bless you, and I wish you have many people like you. I think a Palestina problem would, I mean, in a power, like in Arabic country, the solution for Palestina people, we would have approached it. A question I have, how the problem would be resolved with a population has been brainwashed for years and years and years that Palestina are sub people and they are not worth to live. How do you think ever it would be a solution?
Well, thank you very much for your kind words. I don't imagine that there will be a solution anytime soon. In fact, one of the main reasons for this slaughter is the current government of Israel trying to show the Israeli voters that they can kill Palestinians just as efficiently and with more international support than Benjamin Netanyahu, the opposition leader who hopes to come to power. There are many brave Israelis who stand against this, but the vast majority of Israelis are supporting this slaughter. They say that they want peace, but they're not ready to pay the price of peace, which is justice. The Boers in South Africa during the apartheid era used to say they wanted peace, but they weren't ready to pay the price of peace, which was equality with their African brethren living in the same country as them. And I'm afraid that, as was true of the Boers in the apartheid state, is true of the vast majority of Israeli voters, as the election next month will undoubtedly prove. Israel will only grant a Palestinian state worthy of the name if the world forces it to, not asks it to, with no penalty if it doesn't, but forces it to. And that's what I'm trying. That's why I'm going to the United States in March, east to west, north to south, to try and impact on the American public opinion in the new presidency. Let's go back to the comment wall, and we'll take an email, this time from the USA, Faye. After 1 week during this time, Israel killed more than 400 children by chemical bombs, but it's a shame if we feel that's the way to make peace. This is a crime against human beings. The American government supports this Israeli terror against humans, brings shame to all American citizens. There is my question to all members of the White House, especially Miss Nancy Pelosi. When the media shows a puppy dog lost his home, you and all Americans cry. Where are your feelings about children being killed by the burning of chemical bombs? I don't believe we need that kind of representatives supporting genocide. Many Jews are shamed when Israel uses US support to kill people. Well, every bullet, every bomb, every tank, every warship, every F-16, every helicopter gunship, every Apache, every missile, every blade which cuts the Palestinian people came free of charge from the United States taxpayer, a taxpayer who's already on the floor as a result of the collapse in the United States economy. Well said, Faye, in the United States. Let's stay on the comment wall. Take an SMS this time from the United Kingdom, Imran Muhammad. There are some very narrow-minded people out there. We need to stop stereotyping the Muslims as terrorists. Gazans are not terrorists. They're defending their land, just how you would if someone invaded your house. Well, very well said, Imran. The idea that it's the Muslims that are the terrorists, when in fact the Muslims are the victims of the so-called war on terror, which is really a war of terror, is evident to anyone with eyes to see. But let's look on the bright side. They are watching Press TV, these narrow-minded people. They are watching George Galloway's program, Comment, on Press TV. So maybe we'll convert them yet. Much more coming up after this. I'll be bringing you a program called Comment. It's the big conversation. It's the great debate. Looking for your telephone calls, your emails, your SMSs. Make sure your email, your SMS, and above all, your telephone call gets through to me. So join me, 9:36 GMT every week. Comment, Press TV, broadcasting live from central London. You'll enjoy the debate, and that's a promise. And that's a promise I'm trying to keep. Let's take another telephone call. Where's this one from? Yes, hello, caller.
Hello, yeah, I'm Leo. I'm calling from you from England. I just want to thank you for your all the effort you put in. I wish we had more of you in the House of Parliament. There are a lot of good show I have seen from you, and I was in a demonstration in London on Saturday, and you made a good speech over there.
Thank you.
Proud of men like you, and I wish there were more of you. My question is, all these Arab people in this Arab world, if they come out and demonstrate and show their support, it doesn't matter they have oppression regime. They should come out so the regime can see. I mean, how much they can fill up in the prison for the freedom of the speech they don't have. They cannot fill the prison up. They go out, show the courage. Well, it's only a little bit. They can keep you for how long? I mean, we don't have the freedom almost in this country. They're taking up step by step from us in the UK. I mean, we have the only one we have is the Press TV. All the real news is not shown. The only real news.
Thank you very much indeed. And Press TV is attracting record numbers of viewers in this crisis because people are looking for the truth. On the subject of the Arab world, don't forget this: that it only takes a few drops of rain in the desert to transform the landscape. And I believe these drops of rain are coming soon. And I think you know the Arab countries to which I refer. And as to people like me, don't forget, if you were on the demonstration last week, 100,000 or more British people were on that demonstration. The majority of them were not Muslims, were not Arabs. They were ordinary British people whose families and their families and their families are from here. And we have reached a place in Britain where the majority of people agree with us about Palestine. And that's a very big change from when I started in this cause 35 years ago. Let's take another telephone call. Where's this one from? Yes, caller. Hello.
Hi. Hello, George. I'm phoning from Glasgow.
Welcome.
Hello, George. I just want to say first thank you to you for all your good work with, the Arab world.
Thanks.
When you come on television, whether you're on at 2 a.m. or whatever, whether it's on radio or wherever, I always make sure I listen to you. And so I want to say thank you to you on behalf of millions, I'm sure.
Thanks.
And I also wanted to ask you, today we went to the BBC in Pacific Quay in Glasgow.
I saw that.
For a protest. And I just wanted to ask you, what's your opinion on the fact that the TV license that we pay for, how can we actually create enough commotion so that BBC actually listens to us on the biased reporting?
Well, that's a very good point, but I can't really opine on a rival television station about what people should do about that. But I did see the protest of the people in Scotland today outside the BBC, and they were absolutely right to make it. I used to call the BBC the Bush and Blair Corporation, but it's actually fallen from those standards in this war, as indeed it did in the Lebanon War a couple of summers ago. As to what can be done about it, we have to keep up the pressure. And there's one thing I don't understand. Given that Israel is refusing the BBC permission to go and view this war, why are the BBC continuing to accept Israel's terms of reference for the reportage of this crisis? They, when they're kept out of Zimbabwe, they make sure everybody knows that it was Zimbabwe that kept them out, and they give Zimbabwe hell in their broadcasts, in part because they've been kept out. Unfortunately, they don't do the same in Palestine. Thank you very much for your call in Glasgow. Let's go back to the comment wall and take an SMS. This is from London. Naz, Israel tried to bomb Press TV station in Gaza. Do you think Israel will try their diplomatic resources to stop Press TV in London and other Western countries? Press TV is the voice of the people. Press TV is giving us Gaza coverage. Absolutely right, Naz. No, I don't think they have the power or the influence in Britain to stop us. We are a legitimate television station. We're obeying the rules of the British broadcasting system, and we're attracting record numbers, as is my radio show. My radio show is now listened to by hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people on Friday and Saturday nights at 10 p.m. on talksport.net if you're abroad, or 1089 a.m. on the radio. So the truth does get through. Let's go to the comment wall. Take another email, this time from Kano, Nigeria, Junaid Saeed. I want people around the world to know that Hamas is a government like any other government in the US, Russia, Britain, France, etc. Hamas has the right to obtain weapons in order to defend itself, just as Israel always claimed its weapons are for self-defense. So I want people to continue with their protest, even if Israel stops the bombardment in Gaza, in order to mount pressure on Israel to stop the blockade in the Palestinian territories. Well said, Junaid. We have to keep this pressure up. My convoy may well reach Gaza after the bombs have stopped, but it won't be long before they start again. They've been falling on the Palestinian people for 60 years, and they're not going to stop anytime soon until we manage to force our governments to do something about it. Britain is a permanent member of the Security Council. It's a member of the European Union. On both counts, Britain could be doing much, much more, and we have to force the government to do so. And if the MPs won't do so, we need different MPs. Let's go back to the comment wall and take an SMS. Borna, you know that after the first demonstration in front of the Israeli embassy, the representative told BBC, "We attacked Gaza because Hamas is a dictatorship. You saw people in London came to our embassy to protest. But can you imagine that people in Gaza have the same right to protest? My question is, don't you think by this logic, all of our efforts in doing protests are just helping to legitimize Israel's and the West's status as democratic and free?" Well, Borna, if you've got any better ideas about what we can do, I'm certainly open to hearing them. But in the absence of any better ideas, I say we keep marching, we keep protesting, we keep throwing our shoes, we keep giving everything that we can to try to come to the rescue of the Palestinians under bombardment in Gaza. But as I say, if you have a tactic that will work better, please, you know where to contact me. Well, we need your emails, we need your SMS, above all, we need your telephone calls. Here's another SMS, this time on the comment wall. No, it's an email, and it's from United Kingdom. Ali, why can't Press TV forward the pictures they show on their channel to Sky News and the BBC so that Western countries can see the true nature of Israel? Well, they have these pictures. The BBC and Sky have these pictures. They just don't show them. And that's why more and more people are emigrating from the mainstream British broadcasters to Press TV 515 on the Sky platform. More and more people are watching us with every hour. Let's take a telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, where are you, sir?
Is that George?
It is. Where are you?
Oh, my God, bless you. George, I'm John Gregory from Takeley in Essex.
Hello, John. Thanks for calling.
Okay. I applaud everything you've done. I echo all the great, fantastic messages that you receive.
Thank you.
I don't want to take too much time doing the same again. Press TV is fabulous. I have stopped paying my BBC licence, and I've challenged the BBC to take me to court on this if they dare. My MP, Sir Alan Hazelhurst, MP, and he called me one-eyed against Israel. I was treated as a terrorist when I attended the march to protest in Hyde Park. I didn't go there as a terrorist. I'm nearly a 50-year-old man. People watching television, I'm crying again. These children are being murdered in Gaza, in their homeland. I've challenged Bill Rammel, who would not return my call. Bill Rammel.
He's the Foreign Office Minister. Yeah.
Yes. I've challenged him. He asked me for the solution. And I said, well, we should go to Gaza, confront Israel in a peaceful way, and say, come, spill our blood as well if you dare.
Well, John, I couldn't put it any more powerfully than you have. Your tears have not been in vain. Bill Rammel was the Foreign Office Minister with whom I was debating this evening. Look at the debate and see if you think he passes muster as a Foreign Office of a once great country. His boss, David Miliband, is even more of a disgrace. With his lineage, with his father, and his learning and intellect, he knows that what he's doing is wrong. And somehow, that just makes it worse, so far as I'm concerned. Let's go back to the comment wall and take another email. This one is from the UK, Sharon. They came first for the communists. I didn't speak because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak up because I was a Protestant. Then they came for me, and by that time, no one was left to speak up. With respect to people's ignorance of the facts, all I can say is it must be hard for those who see authority as the truth rather than the truth as the authority. Very beautifully put, Sharon, the words of Pastor Niemöller, the Protestant pastor who stood up against Hitler and perished in the Holocaust, along with 6 million Jews and many millions of others. We will not go quietly into that good night. The Palestinian people have risen. They have risen just like the brave Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto of the summer of 1943. They're standing up, if necessary, to die on their feet rather than to live forever on their knees. I, for one, admire them greatly. Join me again next week at the same time here on Press TV. It's been George Galloway. It's been a pleasure and an honor to talk to you.